Are you ready for the quantum age?
Humanity's next step in evolution?
Dream Vision 7 Radio Network invites you to the extraordinary platform of evolutionary voices for the quantum age.
Let's explore. Learn more about this upcoming age where we bridge science with spirituality.
Where potentiality meets reality.
Where we take compassion into action.
Our trailblazers and visionaries will ask the whys, the what ifs, while igniting continuous possibility.
Come along with us into an age beyond what we know today, where we can grow together in unity consciousness.
Experience evolutionary voices for the quantum age, Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern on DreamVision7Radio.com. Welcome to What's in Your Way is the Way with your host, Mary O'Malley, inviting you to open to the radical notion that in your life, whatever you perceive to be in your way is the way. In other words, your challenges, whether they be relationships, compulsions, finances, or illness, come with gifts embedded in them that can bring healing and allow you to experience the joy of being fully alive. Mary is a counselor, awakening mentor, inspirational speaker, and the author of What's in the Way is the Way, The Gift of Our Compulsions, Belonging to Life, and The Magical Gift of Aliveness. What's in Your Way is the Way with Mary O'Malley is part of Evolutionary Voices for the Quantum Age. Heard Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern on the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Welcome to What's in Your Way is the Way. I am your host, Mary O'Malley, and we are exploring What's in Your Way is the Way. Just let that in for a moment. Can you feel how it quiets your mind? Oh, what's in the way is the way. In other words, we can show up for life. We can begin to engage with what life is offering, rather than always try to control it or run away from it. So, have you ever noticed that you have this voice that talks in your head all day long? It is so busy that it is said that we have 65,000 thoughts a day. Whenever I say that, it makes me tired. And I also love to say that most of the thoughts are repeats from the day before and the day before and the day before. And if you had a little door on your forehead and you could open it up and watch this stream of thought as it moves through you, you would see it's a little problem factory. Our minds are dualistic. They like this, they don't like that. They think this is good, this is bad, this is right, that is wrong. We could look at history and we realize people think they are better than other people because of the color of their skin or their gender or their sexual orientation. If an alien came from another planet and landed on this planet and listened to our history, they would just shake their heads. But this is because we have been caught in a dualistic mind. I like to sometimes see a big factory with lots of smoke coming out of it, and then it has a conveyor belt. And what is coming out of that factory are problems. The factory is our mind. So most of the time on the conveyor belt, there's, you know, problems that are just maybe the size of a grain of sand or a pea or a golf ball. But sometimes out of that factory can come really big problems like an illness or a big financial loss or the breakup of an important relationship. But most of the time, the problems are so small that we can hardly see them on the conveyor belt, but still they are there in this voice that talks in our head all day long, that tries to get rid of this and tries to fix that and tries to get to this, whatever that is, that will make you feel so much better. And I want you to take a moment and just notice this is how most people's lives are, and probably yours, that the mind is so happy when life is showing up as it wants it to. Maybe it's on vacation in a beautiful tropical place and the weather just turns out fine and you don't get sunburned and you don't get a bug bite, you know. And the mind is so happy because it's gotten what it wants. But then it comes home and goes back to work, and the boss is upset about a project that you had done, and then back we go again. Now the mind is unhappy. I like to say that happiness is getting what you want, and that can happen in our life. It does happen, but life is a constant stream. It's constantly changing. And so then our happiness turns into unhappiness. But joy is the ability to be with what is. And that's what we discover. That's what we are exploring in these conversations together. So out of this problem factory, that conveyor belt, the newest, latest problem is living in the now. Oh, we hear about living in the now. I mean, it's even gotten into advertising, you know, that if you buy this car, then, you know, you will be so happy that you live in the now, and so on and so forth. But then the mind tries to live in the now. Or it does. Maybe it goes away on a retreat and all of the problem factory just goes into the background, and oh my God, this is so wonderful. I can really taste my food, and I can really feel the warmth of the sun, and I can really hear the birds in the forest. But then we go back to work, and this all closes down again. So the mind struggles with living in the now. Why does it do that? Because the last time that we were fully here, when we were very young, at a time when there was no thoughts in our head or just a very few, a time when we were life, we were not separate from life, we were the flow, and life got easy and difficult, you know, the diaper pin hurts, you know, your skin. Of course, there's no diaper pins anymore, but, you know, that you're happy because you're being fed, you're upset because you are cold and hungry. But before we had stories about all this, this just passed through us. It was life. And then slowly and surely this storyteller, this voice that speaks all day long, this voice that is always trying to get to the good stuff and get rid of the bad stuff, began to fill up the space inside of us. And that's mainly because we were all roughly handled. You know, we were raised by what I call unconscious giants. Even if you had loving parents, you know, they wounded us. They weren't there when we needed them. At other times they were. But at other times they wounded us in ways that they didn't even know they were wounding us. And so if you doubt that you were wounded, you think, oh no, I had very loving parents. You know, just think of older siblings, or think of the playground at school, or think of the pressure at school, and know that our beautiful, innocent hearts were wounded, and they began to tighten and close. And we ran up into the problem factory that keeps on promising if you just get it all together, then everything will be okay. So really, we live in what I call a bubble of struggle. And I want you to imagine this small, opaque bubble floating on a beautiful, vast ocean. We live in a bubble of struggle. Most people do. Cut off from the ocean of being. Cut off from our true nature. Cut off from who we truly are. But the amazing thing is that right outside this bubble of struggle, that struggles so much it's trying to get outside of itself, which only creates more struggle, right outside of it, the peace, the ease, the joy you long for is always already here. We can't try to get there because that's just more struggle. If you really look back in history, you will see for thousands of years the main teachers of awakening, at that time they called it enlightenment. I like what Stephen Levine calls it's really enlightenment, but for thousands of years it's enlightenment. It's a place to get to, and if you just meditated for many hours a day, or lived in a cave, or deprived yourself, of comfort, you sleep on a bed of nails and you live on, 3 grains of rice a day and you don't allow yourself the connection with, an intimate relationship with a fellow human being. All of this promise that if you just do that, if you just deprive yourself enough or meditate enough or be good enough, then you will arrive at what is called enlightenment. And if that really worked, I mean, we'd have millions and zillions of people that were enlightened. But it doesn't work because it is all within the bubble of struggle. The bubble of struggle is trying to find what is called enlightenment, not knowing it's already and always right here, right now. So, how do we come out of the bubble of struggle and to begin to soften into life, to begin to engage with life as it is? And we've talked a lot about getting to know the bubble of struggle, but today I want to talk about what really is here. The safety, the miracle that happens when you learn how to not struggle with the bubble of struggle. So it begins to relax. And voila, what shows itself is the field of ease and peace that is always here, right outside of the bubble of struggle. I am here to tell you that relaxing into life is the safest thing you will ever do. But I want to give you what I call the carrots in front of the donkey sharing, because the mind, even though it wants to live in the now because it hears the now is where all the good stuff is, it's terrified of it because we got scared out of the now when we were very young. And our mind, the bubble of struggle, associates being open to life as the place where all the bad stuff is. And yet, the truth is, it's where our essence is. And living in the now isn't this romanticized version that we've heard. Oh, everything will be just wonderful. Discovering how to live in the now is discovering how to show up for life, for all of it, the 10,000 joys and the 10,000 sorrows. So, to intrigue the mind again, to intrigue it enough that we begin to learn how to bring our attention out of the bubble of struggle and actually bring it right here. I want to share with you some pretty amazing facts about life, about the miracle of life. First of all, in all the vastness of time and space, you have shown up in this little tiny slice of time. Just expand your awareness out and realize that with the Hubble telescope, we have discovered that this universe has been unfolding for 13.8 billion years. And on our planet, life has been unfolding for about 4.5 billion years. And this moment where you are listening is the moment that that unfolding is brand new. It's the leading edge of the unfolding. And this is the only moment that matters in your whole life, in the life of the whole universe. Because this is the leading edge of this exquisite creativity called life. So, also, I want to offer you something that may be just a little tiny uncomfortable as I begin, but stay with me because it's going to show you a place that is just absolutely miraculous. So, your mother and father had sex. Oh my God, we just hate to think of that. But we now know in each male ejaculation, there are anywhere from 40 million, that's the low end, to 1.5 billion sperm. Just let that in. That is just a mind-boggling truth. 40 million, that's a man with a low sperm count, to 1.5 billion. And each woman only has around 2 million eggs. I mean, you know, only, my goodness. A woman has 2 million eggs that are formed, you know, when she's young, and that's all the eggs she gets. And think of all the times your parents did have sex, or maybe your parents were just strangers and they only had sex once. But the chances are, for most of us, the people that are our parents had sex more than once. So, to keep this somewhat manageable, let's just imagine that, you know, your father had a medium sperm count, so he only had, like, you know, 500 million sperm. And as these sperm, you know, wove their way, swam their way up to where your mother's eggs were, it united with only one of those 2 million eggs. So, let this in. Let this in. The improbability of you, the unique person that you are, actually being given the gift of life in this teeming world of possibility, it's infinitesimal. In this vastness of all time and space, you are alive. You are a completely unique creation. There's never been before a person like you, and there never will be again. Let in the improbability of you actually being here. Let in the actual uniqueness of who you are. Also, let's take this another step. Let in the fact that you are necessary. Life brought you forth out of mystery because it needed you. And it needed you exactly as you are. If you doubt that, contemplate the question, which cell in your heart is not important? Or which drop of water that made up the oceans was not necessary? Life knew what it was doing when it gave you the gift of life. And such a gift it is. Buddha said that to be given the gift of a human life is as rare as if there were only one golden hoop that floated on the seven seas of the world with only one turtle swimming in the seven seas. And only once every 100 years did the turtle surface, and it surfaced through the golden hoop. Even with all the challenges you may be experiencing, such as difficulties with your relationship or a health problem that's limiting you or a financial crisis or a compulsion that seems to control your life, you are still being given the amazing gift of life. So, let's go on exploring, what do we miss when we're caught in the bubble of struggle? So, take a moment and just notice your breath. There it is, rising and falling, rising and falling. There's two really amazing things about your breath. Number one, you have over 23,000 breaths a day. That's right, 23,000 breaths a day. You know, and then just multiply that by 365 days in a year, and then how many, you know, years you've been alive, and it's just mind-boggling. But you add to that the other fascinating thing about your breath is you are not the one that is breathing. If you doubt that, try to stop your breath right now. Try to stop it. Yeah, you can hold your breath for a while. But eventually, breath will break through that holding. The river of breath will continue to breathe you. You are being given the gift of life through the gift of breath. And I just invite you for these few precious moments to bring your attention again, rising and falling, rising and falling. And for a few moments, let go of breathing and allow yourself to be breathed by life. Don't struggle with this. It could be very difficult because the mind thinks it's in control. When the truth is, life is in control of life. Let go. Let your belly soften. Let that holding in your stomach go. And allow yourself to rest on your breath. Allow yourself to be breathed by life. Do not be dismayed if you couldn't shift into allowing yourself to be breathed. But I invite you to at least notice that breath is happening. And how many of those breaths have you been aware of in your life? If you're honest with yourself, you would say probably very, very few, and maybe even only when it was hard to catch a breath. Breath is precious. Breath is always with us, and it can show us how far away from life we are. So as you are breathing, I invite you to bring your fingers up right below your ear, right kind of where the earlobe and the end of the jaw meet, and right below the jaw there. And move your finger around, press it in, so you can begin to feel the beating of your heart. God, as I said that, it just brought a well spring of tears. This beautiful heart inside of all of us that beats every moment of your life. You know, your leg muscles may get tired because you have backpacked, you know, 15 miles in a day. Or your arms may get tired because you've been painting walls all day long. But your heart doesn't get tired. Isn't that amazing? It's a muscle. And it beats an amazing 115,000 beats a day. Oh my God, let that in. Let your finger feel the beat in your neck. But then drop your attention and feel. Maybe even place your hand over your heart. It's harder to feel the beat when you place your hand over your heart in your chest. But recognize this beautiful, exquisite creation of life has been keeping you alive, has been beating 115,000 plus or minus a bit beats a day. And it gives you the gift of life. And we take it so for granted. We can eat, you know, fatty foods, and we cannot get enough sleep, and we can push ourselves and push ourselves and push ourselves until our heart begins to have an irregular heartbeat. For this moment, be grateful for your heart, for this moment, hold the intention that you will be as kind as you possibly can to this exquisite being that is beating in your heart every single moment of your life, giving yourself the gift of life. So, let's continue on with the carrot in front of the donkey, the ways that you can begin to see through the lens of how amazing life is, even how safe it is to relax into life. So here is the sun. Our planet dances around the sun in this miraculous love affair. In fact, you could say all life on this planet is a love affair with the sun. See how the plants reach up to the sun. And what we do is we eat this love affair. We eat the plants that have been in love with the sun. Or we eat animals that have eaten plants that have been in love with the sun. This is why I love the Hafiz poem. Hafiz is who is a, he came, I think, 100 years after Rumi, the beautiful Persian poet. And Hafiz is a poet with a wonderful sense of humor and a sheer delight in life. And this is one of my favorite poems, and I hope I can remember it here. Even after all these years, the sun doesn't say to the earth, you owe me. Look what a love like that can do. It lights up the whole sky. But it also lights up every animated thing on this planet, including you. And there was a amazing moment in my life when I was watching a PBS special about the sun. And I've had a love affair with the sun. You know, just having sat in silence for many years and going out in nature and just feeling the love affair that I am and that life is, you know, with the sun. When I watched this PBS special, it said that at the heart of the sun, it is over 15 million degrees. And in these extreme conditions of temperature and pressure, photons of light are created. It takes these photons of light 100,000 years to make it out to the edge of the sun, where they then radiate out of the sun at a very small, I can't remember what the percentage is, you know, 1/1,000,000th of the sun's, you know, radiance falls upon the earth. And it takes those photons of light 8 minutes to reach the earth. So when you go outside, you literally are being flooded with pieces of the sun. We call them photons, but they are pieces of the sun that your body absorbs, that plants absorb, and then you eat the sun. And these photons of light are over 100,000 years old. And yet we take sunlight for granted every single day. What would it be like if for today, and even if it's cloudy, the photons make it through, and just for today, for just even a few moments, you go outside, and you maybe raise your arms and you just say, thank you, sun, for giving of yourself, for your tireless giving, so life on this planet can live. And receive these photons of light that the sun's creativity took so long, millions of years to create, and then 100,000 years to make it out to the edge of the sun, so they could come cascading to you, so that you could be given the gift of life. So I invite you for just this moment to realize that the stories in your head mostly are trying to control life, they're trying to figure out life, they're trying to plan life, they're trying to get rid of the so-called bad stuff and get to the good stuff. And for just this moment, relax into life. Feel the warmth of your body. That is life generating life. That's why bodies become almost instantly cold when somebody dies. But you still have that life inside of you that is generating life. And just feel it. Feel the weight of your body. Feel how whatever is supporting you, whether you're standing on a floor or walking through a park or sitting on a chair or lying on a bed, feel yourself being held. Feel yourself being supported by life as your heart beats and as life breathes you. Let go of the past. Let go of the future. Rest in your breath. Feel life breathing you. Feel life beating your heart. For these few moments, you're not caught in the bubble of struggle. You're using your attention to actually be here for life, or your mind may not be able to let go. That's okay. Don't force it. But use that to see that you are caught in a bubble of struggle that is always trying to do life rather than be life. The more we begin to see that there is a difference between the actual living experience of life and our stories about it, when we begin to see that in all of our longing, in the bubble of struggle, what we really long for is not to get it together so that in some far-off time everything will be okay. What we really long for is to have an intimate, alive connection with life right here and right now. And that is why I love the Joseph Campbell quote so much. He is the man that did so much, many books and PBS, you know, recordings on the power of myth, and, you know, talked about how, you know, we tell stories because we're trying to make sense of this great mystery. And on the very first page of his book on the power of myth, and on the very first page in the first chapter of my first book, Belonging to Life, I put this quote, and I won't remember the words exactly right, but they're pretty close. People say that what we're searching for is the meaning to life. I don't think that's what we're searching for at all, Joseph said. What we're searching for is the experience of being alive, so that our experiences on the physical plane will resonate in our very innermost being, and we will again know the rapture of being alive. That's what we're talking about here. the rapture of being alive, seeing how much we miss when we are caught in a mind that is always trying to do life, which cuts us off from being here with life, being life, actually. The more we soften into life, and the more we learn how to relate to the bubble of struggle, which is made out of fear, and it's made out of judgment, especially judgment towards ourselves. It's made out of loneliness. It's made out of shame and not enoughness. It's made out of helpless, hopeless despair. Oh, my God, I tried to kill myself 3 times because that was the state that was the most predominant in my bubble of struggle, you know, that to begin to be able to relate to all that. Oh, fear is here rather than I am afraid. Oh, the shame one is here rather than I am ashamed. It begins to open you back into life. You begin to relax your belly softens, your breath opens, and your attention becomes more and more alert. Of course, you still get caught at times, but you become a tightness detective as times begin to alert you to the fact that you're caught in the bubble of struggle again, and you begin to get to know your bubble of struggle so more and more quickly you can unhook from its world and relax back into the great river of life. Yes, it is scary for a while because our mind equates being here with life with all of the pain we experienced when we were young. But we're not children anymore. And the safest thing we'll ever do is relax into life. And that's why I love the Eckhart Tolle quote so much. Life will give you the exact set of experiences you need to become a conscious human being. How do we know they're the right set? Because you're having them. Can you imagine trusting life again? Trusting yourself, it's not your mind. Your mind will never be able to really trust. But who you really are is life. So it does trust life. Can you imagine you live from a deep knowing that everything is just as it needs to be? It's just the great river of life unfolding. Can you imagine not getting caught in your head, not second-guessing your process, that you really begin to know, not the mind, but you know that life is giving you the exact set of experiences you need in order to wake up to life? Can you imagine more and more your mind dropping into your heart? That, remember, the mind's dualistic. The mind is a little problem factory. But the heart is not dualistic. It's inclusive. The heart doesn't fight with anything. The heart doesn't divide. It unites. The heart, which is your main brain, has room for everything. And when I say everything, I mean everything. The terrorists, politicians that don't agree with us, difficult mates, cancer, teenager that is going off the deep end. Because when we react from our minds to all of that, we only create more mind. I'm not saying just be at the mercy of all this. I'm saying Live from your aware heart so that you can respond to these situations, that wisdom, your wisdom self can respond to these situations rather than react. On this journey back to your aware heart, back to life, back to trusting the unfolding so you can show up for it as it is, of course your mind will still contract. But I equate this with giving birth. We really are birthing ourselves out of the bubble of struggle, and just look at history and you'll see how much suffering that creates. And we are being birthed, that's a better way to say it, out of the bubble of struggle and back into life. And how a baby, how a human baby is born is literally through contractions. Here's these waves that the stronger the contractions are, the more the cervix can open, that opening that the baby needs to pass through that is closed so tight that when the baby is in the womb, it won't fall out. But the cervix has to open. It has to open to 10 centimeters so that the baby can go through that and into the birth canal. And how the cervix is opened is through contractions. If you've ever been in a birth, you'll see, or have birthed a child, and had natural childbirth, you can just feel these contractions. They just, and then the relaxation. So it's the same in awakening out of the dream of separation, out of the dream of struggle, and back into an intimate, alive, wonder-filled connection with life. Contractions will be a part of it. This is why it can be, so essential to give yourself at least 5 minutes a day. Don't believe all that stuff. I've got to sit 20 minutes a day. I've got to sit 20 minutes twice a day, and then we do it for, 7 days and then, we give up. Start with 5 minutes a day. If 5 minutes a day is too much, 2 minutes a day. Consistency is much, much more than important than quantity. And give yourself the gift of just choosing a focus, whether it's the rising and the falling of your breath, it's the, being present for your morning cup of tea, smelling it, feeling the weight of the cup, feeling the warmth of the cup, feeling the cup touch your lips, feeling the warmth go down into your body. And in those few minutes, know that your mind will go off. Oh my God, this is such wonderful tea. I wonder where George got it. I've got to ask him. Oh my God, well, he's leaving on a trip, so I won't be able to ask him. So I've got to shorten my meditation right now so I can go ask George about what this tea is. That's what the mind does. But if you sit for 5 minutes, and of course you're going to wander off, but then you notice you're wandering off and you bring your attention back, even if you only stay there for a few seconds. Every time you return, you begin to strengthen the muscle of your attention and you notice some very startling things. You notice there's life and then there's the stories about life. And then you begin to become fascinated. You want to get to know about the stories. I call it look to unhook. So you're not run by your stories. And more you are here for life. And then naturally it may evolve that you spend more and more time. Not because you should, oh my God, I've heard it's really good to have a meditation practice because then I can get into the now. Oh, bubble of struggle. But just so that you long more deeply for this intimate, alive connection with life and you're more ready and willing to get to know your fears, to get to know your loneliness, to get to know your sadness, to get to know your shame. And the more you get to know them, the more you are no longer controlled by them. So I invite you now to come back to your breath, rising and falling, rising and falling, and to feel yourself being breathed by life. Oh. And if it calls to you, put your finger on your neck and feel your heart beating, this beautiful, exquisite friend, this tireless friend in your chest. That life is beating your heart and breathing you. Life is giving you the gift of life. Rising and falling. Rising and falling. And for just this moment, let your belly relax. Let it relax so deeply that your whole pelvic floor lets go. And become an open space where the exquisite river of life is unfolding through you as you. Oh. And of course the mind will take over again. But don't be dismayed. It's just the stories in your mind that were created, were set in motion when you were very young. Say hello. And then come back to life. Soften into life and ground in the rising and the falling of your breath. I thank you for all the children that are coming after us. For your willingness to not only braille your way back into life, but learn how to see and love everything in your stories that takes you away. Thank you for becoming a part of the healing of our planet. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to this edition of What's in Your Way is the Way with your host, Mary O'Malley. You can access Mary's offerings on her websites, maryomalley.com and whatsintheway.com. Join Mary next time to experience the peace and joy that is always with you on Evolutionary Voices for the Quantum Age. Heard Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern on the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.